Welcome to another podcast by Dr. Dennis Smith, Senior Pastor of Covenant Life Ministries. To find out more, go to lifeinfocustv.com.
How important is prayer to most people, do you think? How important do you think prayer is to most people? How important is prayer to you? Why some people don't pray? Some people say it's just too complicated. It's too difficult. They don't know how. For others, they said, well, you know, I've tried it. It doesn't work. Then there are those who pray just in time of emergencies. It's kind of an SOS to God. Help, I'm in trouble. You know, when something happens like that, you usually respond in one of two ways. You pray or you panic. When emergency happens, you pray or you panic. Now, most people panic first and then say, oh, they're all horrible. How horrible. They say, what are we going to do? And they say, oh, man, there's nothing else we can do. Maybe we should pray. But you know, the Bible says to not be anxious. It says, do not be anxious, worried, or certainly don't panic about anything. You remember the rest of that part of the verse? But pray about everything. My important prayer. You know, prayer is just simply communion and conversation with God, with a living God who's creator of heavens and the earth, our creator, all powerful, and we have a voice. He listens to us. How amazing is that? You know, through communion with God, through conversation with God, we pray it does two main things. Number one, it offers praise and worship to Him. He's God. He deserves it. He's above all. He's worthy. And then the second thing is, it's the avenue through which God has given us. It's the avenue by which or through which we receive from Him. He says, ask. Ask and receive. Now, prayer changes things. I mean, some things will not change unless we pray about them. Prayer changes people. We've certainly seen that. And rather than it being asking and receiving, for some people, prayer is just simply asking and hoping. I hope God will hear this prayer. I hope He'll do something about it. I'm going to just put this out there. I'll send up this prayer and see what God will do. Maybe He'll answer it, maybe He won't. Let's just hope for the best. But you know, the Bible doesn't approach prayer that way at all. When the Bible talks about prayer, it's to ask and receive. It's to pray, believing, and receive. When the Bible talks about prayer, it gives us this tremendous truth that when you pray, you should expect an answer. Always expect an answer. Never has there been a greater need. Never has there been a greater need for believers to learn how to pray effectively, how to experience a powerful prayer life. And our kind of our theme verse as we walk through these weeks is James chapter 5, verse 16, the last part of that verse, which says the effectual or the effective fervent prayer, the heartfelt, persistent prayer of a righteous man or woman, or the effective, fervent prayer of believers avail much or accomplish much. It is dynamic and it can have tremendous power. And then remember the little example there. It gives us the example of Elijah in the Old Testament. Elijah was a human being, was a man, just had limitations. But when Elijah prayed for it not to rain, said, for 3 years, 6 months, stopped raining. 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again and it rained. It says, to me, this is saying, look, you can pray with power. You can pray in a way that it causes changes. And God wants us to learn how to pray that way. Pray earnestly, pray intensely. Now, we've been looking at some of the different keys to learning how to pray with power. And today, we're talking about praying in Jesus' name. Now, you may have already picked up on part of the worship this morning that we have been talking and singing and worshiping a lot about the name of Jesus. So today, our focus is on praying in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 4, you know, there's power in that name. There's power in the name. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name that salvation can come. No other name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, therefore God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in submission of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That day's coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There is authority in the name of Jesus. Authority that's recognized by angels and authority that's recognized by demons. They recognize the name of Jesus. And he has authorized us to be his representatives so that we can have assurance that we are recognized by the Father. He hears our prayers and answers them. You know, salvation comes in his name. We're justified in his name. We're baptized in his name. We're healed in his name. Demons are cast out in his name. And everything that we do and say is to be done in his name. Powerful name. In the Gospel of John, in chapters 14 and 15 and 16, those three verses actually describe what took place or gives us the words that were shared while Jesus was, when the disciples and Jesus together for the Passover, the Lord's Supper. Talking about the new covenant being saved through his body given, his blood that was shed for us. And during that time in the upper room, during that time, that very intimate time with his disciples, these words are shared. These words, this is not in Matthew, it's not in Mark, it's not in Luke. It's only found here. And the interesting thing is, when you read these chapters, that the disciples are hearing words that they've never heard before. They're hearing words, this is new to them. Jesus is sharing something that's new to them. We could say that it seems that they're hearing this for the first time. Look in Gospel of John with me. John chapter 14, two verses, verse 13 and 14. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name as my representative, I will do it. When you pray in my name, then the Son can bring glory to the Father. The Father will receive glory. And when you pray in my name, you will get your prayers answered. And then pick up again in John chapter 15, verse 16. John 15, 16. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain or last. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it. He may give to you, or he may give you. And in John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, in that day, Jesus says, in that day, you'll not need to ask me about anything. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name as my representative, whatever you ask the Father, he will give you. Until now, you've not asked the Father for anything in my name. See? So this is new information to them. It's kind of a new route, if you will. things are going to change. They've been with Jesus. They've been with him physically. Now the crucifixion is going to take place right after these words. He's going to be crucified, dead, raised from the dead, but then ascended to the Father. He's no longer with them. And so he's saying, you know, I'm not always going to be with you. You don't come, you know, you don't come and pray. But look, even though I'm leaving, I want you to know you can trust me. I am present with you. The Holy Spirit will be in you, will be present with you. And you can trust that when you come to the Father in my name, if you approach the Father in my name, then I'll do what you ask, and the Father will give you what you ask. Amazing words. I mean, mind-boggling words if you really think about it. What a promise. What a promise. But there are conditions. You know, most every promise, there are conditions. And in other words, we need to understand what it really means to pray in the name of Jesus. What does it really mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Well, for some, it's just kind of a habit. It's tradition. They were brought up that way. It's the way they've always prayed, right? It is the signal that the prayer is almost over and you can open your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a conclusion. It's the end. For others, it's kind of a magic formula, if you will. Abracadabra, the Christian equivalent to rubbing Aladdin's lamp. If I say this, if I say these words, then it'll work. We get so used to using that that sometimes when we pray and we end the prayer without saying in Jesus' name, we feel like we've left out something, and maybe it's an illegal prayer. Well, did you know if you go back and read the New Testament, you cannot find one prayer that ends with those words, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amazing. But wait, we know that their prayers were answered. We know that the New Testament church, we read about in the scriptures there, we know that their prayers were heard and their prayers were answered. The thing is, doesn't necessarily mean that they use those names, that use that phrase every time they prayed. In other words, they were praying in Jesus' name even if they did not use those specific words during the prayer time. Because praying in Jesus' name means so much more than using that phrase. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Why is it important? I'm going to give you five things. Just walk through them with me. And to help you remember, you can just use the letter A to help you remember, okay? We're gonna use five things that we need to know about using, about praying in Jesus' name, why it's important, what it will do. First of all, when you pray in Jesus' name, it guarantees you have access to the Father. You have access. It guarantees access to the Father. You see, when we come, when we approach God, we can't come in our own goodness and righteousness. The Old Testament says our righteousness is filthy rags. New Testament says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. There is no way to get to the Father. There is no way to approach to God because sin has separated us. That's what the Bible says. Sin has separated us from God. By man's choice, God didn't want it that way. But sin had separated. So the problem of sin had to be dealt with. And the only way that could happen would be, since the penalty of sin was suffering and death and separation, someone who had not sinned had to come, in order for it to happen, someone who had not sinned, who could be a perfect sacrifice, became our substitute and gave his life in our place, shed his blood for us, taking our suffering, taking our death and separation, our spiritual death and separation, taking it on himself so that when we receive him, we receive his righteousness. And so when we talk about praying in Jesus' name, we're saying the only way I can connect to the Father, the only way that my prayers are going to do any good is if I realize the only way that it works is if I come through Jesus, a sacrifice on the cross. And the Bible is quite clear in many places about that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, We can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and living, a new life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place, kind of referring back to the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple. So Hebrews 4:16 says, so since Jesus has made a way, he's given us access, so let us come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we'll receive mercy and grace to help us in time of need. Wow. He gives us access. Access is so very important. If you're in a particular situation and you need to get in your car, you plan to get in your car and go somewhere, it's very important. And when you get to your car, you find out you don't have your keys and there's no way to have access to that car. It's not a good thing. When you're on your computer and there's a particular place you need to sign on or something you need to do on your computer, and then it comes up and it requires your password for access to that, every time that happens, am I the only one that can't ever remember my password? You know, and they say, don't always use the same one because it's too easy for, you know, for someone to get it and to do harm. But I write it down, and then I forget where I wrote it down. So, well, just put it in your phone, your computer. Well, I've already put two or three there. So you have to have access in order to get in. You have to have password. Let me tell you your password to the throne of God. Let me share with you the password to God your Father, who will give you what you ask. Let me give you the password to approach him. Your password is the name of Jesus. We have his password. We have access to him through his blood. To get in the White House, you're going to need a special security pass of sorts. To get into the Oval Office is quite another thing. You're going to need connections. Through the name of Jesus, we have our security pass and we have a connection to get into the throne room. In the name of Jesus gives you access. The second thing, why it's important to pray in Jesus' name, number two is it means that you pray with authority. It gives you authority. I like to say we need to learn how to pray with audacity and humility. Our prayers shouldn't be this little weak sounding thing, you know. There are times we weep before the Lord, the times we quietly come before the Lord in prayer. But when we approach God in prayer, we shouldn't approach him in such a way as a weakling. And we should approach him as a son, as a daughter of God, that's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, perhaps the reason we don't see breakthrough in some situations is because we don't have the audacity to take God's word, claim it, stand on it, and walk it out. We just kind of begin to back off. We need audacity. But this is not boasting in ourselves. It's audacity with humility, understanding that it all comes from him. Understand that when we pray in Jesus' name, it releases power. There's real power in the name of Jesus. In his name, we pray with power and authority. Now, power is the ability to do something. Authority is the right to do it. Power without authority is abuse. Authority without power is useless. Take a police officer. Has authority because the oath that's been taken is symbolized through a badge, a uniform, perhaps. But regardless of whether it's a uniform, plain clothes, or whatever, they've taken the oath, they have the badge, the symbol. When they say stop in the name of the law, it's not stop in my name, it's stop and a greater name. You are to stop because of a greater name, because of the law, because of the government, because of a greater power. So that is authority. But it'd be very difficult for those who have this responsibility for a police officer be very difficult at times to carry out that authority, to exercise authority, unless they were trained and unless they had the equipment to enforce that authority. I got good news that through Jesus, in Jesus' name, you've been given authority. As he has received authority from the Father, we have authority in him. It's only because of him. It's not our own authority. It's authority through him. Through Jesus Christ, we not only have authority, but he has equipped us with power to make sure that the rule of law or the rule of the kingdom of God is accomplished. When Peter and John went up to the gate of the temple in Acts chapter 3, they didn't pray in Jesus' name on that particular situation. But they did speak to the man and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Get up and walk. You know what was exercised there? They had authority in the name of Jesus, and they had power to make that happen. Power that came from him. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not just enough to have authority. We have to have authority and power. What was their purpose? It was not God's will that that man should remain lame, that he should be limited in that way. That was not God's perfect will. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No cripples in heaven. No sickness in heaven. And what happens here is Peter comes in and he makes this declaration in the name of Jesus with authority and power. You know what that does? It enforces the rule of the kingdom of God and says, this is not supposed to happen here because God's kingdom is going to come here. You and I in prayer are to enforce the kingdom of God. Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I think that's an aspect of prayer that we really haven't gotten a hold of very well yet, that prayer can actually change things in such a dramatic way. This is the way God desires for it to be. You can advance the kingdom of God. John 14, 12 says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to my Father. And what happens when he goes to the Father? The Holy Spirit is sent. We receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in us. We have that kind of power working in us. We are askers and we are agents of his authority. Ephesians 3:19, Paul was praying for the believers there, and that prayer is still for us today. He says, I want you to know, I want you to understand what? What do you want you to understand? The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. May you know the exceeding greatness of God's power. And may that work in your life in a powerful way. And when you act in the name of Jesus, when you pray in the name of Jesus, you pray with authority and you pray with power. You pray in the Holy Spirit. The third thing is, when you pray in the name of Jesus, then it always helps you with this, and it's very important. When you pray, truly pray in Jesus' name, you pray according to his will. He says, anything that you ask according to my will. In other words, you know the word according, but we all say when we pray, we are agreeing with his word because his word is his will. I'm going to talk about this probably in a couple of weeks, but there's some important truths for us to consider in understanding what we mean when we say God's will. And it's very important for us to get this because it's hard for us to grasp the importance of prayer in our lives, how vital it is, if we believe that God's will, his sovereign will, is going to take place whether you pray or not. If you believe that, people naturally would say if they believe that, that God's will is always going to take place, if they believe that, then it makes sense that they would say, then why pray? And of course, then the religious answer is, well, prayer is not just about asking for things. Prayer is about communion with the Lord and helping him to do work in your life. That's absolutely true. But the Bible's quite clear, is prayer is about asking and receiving, asking and God responding to what we ask. I'll give you some Bible examples of that when we talk about it a little bit later. We have to understand that God's will means God, what God desires. When you talk about God's will, you're just simply saying this is what God desires. God desires. Now, there's certain things that are going to happen no matter what man does, but there are certain things that rest with us as believers as to whether we pray or not. It'll change things. It'll change you. It'll change your family. It'll change the nation. Pray according to his will. So in order to pray according to his will, and if his word is his will, guess what you have to do? In order to pray according to his will, which is his word, what do you have to do? You have to know his word. And I found that the greatest prayers over the years have been those people who spent time in the word. Those people who dedicated themselves to getting to know that word more and more and more and more. And you know, it's so much simpler now than it used to be. Because now, in books, but also online, and with the power of Google, you have no problem. If you want to find out what the word says about a particular subject or need, you put it in there. Scriptures on healing, scriptures on courage, scriptures on guidance, scriptures on marriage. I'm telling you, very quickly you can find, God, this is a need. This is where I need to focus. I'm praying concerning these things right now. The best way you can pray, of course, it's got to be from your heart. It's got to be genuine. The best way you can pray is to take what God says about that in his word and use his own words in your prayers. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're going to be praying according to the word, because if you don't pray according to the word, I don't care if you say in Jesus' name, it ain't in Jesus' name. It cannot be in Jesus' name if it's not according to his will. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So if you want 100% success in answers to your prayers, learn more and more and more how to learn what his will is and pray for it. There's some things in the word that you quite clearly know are his will. Now, there's some things in the issues of our lives that, as far as seeking guidance and finding the leadership of the Holy Spirit and dealing with certain situations, relationships, we need more insight that you can't necessarily find a verse or two and then take it and claim it. That the Holy Spirit will help you draw from his word and give you wisdom to know how to pray. When you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will help you in your prayers. You know, we are called to be his ambassadors. When you pray, you're praying in his place, in proxy, if you will. You're his representative. Power of attorney. One person represents another, acts on your behalf. You know, Jesus has given you power of attorney with the right to use his name. It's like going to the bank of heaven. Jesus Christ has unlimited funds, and we go to the bank with his name on the checks. According to his word, you're an ambassador. It's not about you, it's about him. You represent one who is greater. The fourth thing is, when you pray in Jesus' name, it helps you to pray in an appropriate way. It's appropriate prayer. It's prayer that he approves of. It aligns with his character. I don't know if you notice or not, but all three of those are A words, appropriate, approval, and aligns. But all of that is true. That the name, when you pray in the name, what does the name of Jesus represent? It's more than just those letters. You know, words have meanings. And though people don't follow this as much as they used to in some societies and years gone by, when people selected names to name their children, they selected those names based upon something they wanted to say, a testimony about that child or a prophetic word of what they believed that child was going to become. It was something they believed. It had significance to it in the name. You know, the name of Jesus has significance. It represents the sum of his character and nature. Here's what it is. Prayer in Jesus' name means asking for that which is consistent. Prayer in Jesus' name means to ask for that which is consistent with his character, with who Jesus is, with what he says, and what he wants to accomplish in this world. If Jesus' name is not on it, we cannot be asking for it and expecting to receive. When we pray, it has to be in keeping with who he is. In other words, this. You can't lie or steal in the name of Jesus. Well, you could say it, but it would not be in his name. It would be a lie. You can not ask God to bless adultery in Jesus' name. You cannot lie or steal or hurt deliberately in Jesus' name. Now, when you pray in his name, you pray, you don't pray in any way that will contradict his nature and his will. The final thing is, when you pray in the name of Jesus, using his name in your prayer, you are assured of an answer. You're assured of an answer. 1 John chapter 15, 14, remember we said this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We've got confidence. We believe it. We trust that when we ask according to his will, he hears us. Now look at verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Ask anything in my name and I will do it, he said. Ask the Father in Jesus' name, he will give it. Let me tell you, the name of Jesus carries tremendous weight. And if we will learn to exercise, learn this, use it in your praying, it will help you. It will help you. It will change your prayer life. It's so very important. You see, when you recognize, and you know, kind of as a habit, we'll close it in Jesus' name, amen. That's all right. It's okay. I'm not trying to get people to stop me and say, well, pastor said that was it. No, to you it may be very genuine. That's fine for you to say that, declare it. Most of the time when we pray, that's how we, in Jesus' name. We're declaring, Lord, that we're approaching you, we're receiving you based upon Jesus, his merit, what he's done, what he's accomplished for us. And we're going to walk in that authority and power. We're going to walk and we're going to pray according to his word. We're going to pray appropriate to his character. And we're going to pray anticipating answers. All in the name of Jesus. But I think, and I found this kind of changing in my own life, I think that in praying in the name of Jesus, perhaps we should use that more at the first part of the prayer rather than the end. Perhaps when you simply begin to pray and say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come to you in the name of Jesus. Man, let's just set the record straight when we start praying. God, I know I can't come to you in my own righteousness. I can't do it. I can't make it. I can't pray just according to my own will. I have to pray according to your will. It's not about my power and authority. It's about your power and authority that works in me. I can pray, believing, anticipate that you hear and answer my prayer because, Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. And whenever you do that, according to what he says now, according to what the word says, ask whatever he will. And he'll do it for you. That's quite a challenge. I know things are going on in people's minds now. If you think, I know they are. Wow, I hear that. Ask anything according to my name, but I mean, really? I mean, really? Well, does our prayer fit the criteria we talked about this morning? Are we praying this way? Are we praying this way? Are we praying this way in faith? Then I'm saying, according to what he says, that's the kind of prayer life we should expect. I wonder if there's anybody here, and this is not about self, this is not about just getting stuff, but this is not what, that's not the focal point of prayer. But you need to know that you have a Heavenly Father, a God Almighty who loves you, who's made a way for you to approach Him. And through the name of Jesus, you can receive. Your needs will be met. You can hear from Him. You can know His will. You can walk in His blessings. You should expect your prayers to be answered. If I were to ask a question, when you pray, do you really expect it to be answered? Do you really? Or do you just hope it will be answered? I think that this is crucial for us to get a hold of this truth and get it down inside of us, because I believe it'll revolutionize and change our lives, because we have a good, good Father. We have someone who gives good and perfect gifts to us. We have someone who loves us. You are His children. Why should we not approach Him in prayer with that kind of attitude and that kind of heart? Because if we, being evil, know how and want to give good gifts to our children, how much more is that the heart of God? I've been praying this week, and I prayed earlier this morning that somehow we here in this building this morning would get this, that God would put something down inside of us that would go off inside of us, and they would get this, that prayer should work, and it will work, and He's given us keys to learn how to pray exactly that way. It's learning. It's a process. None of us are, I dare say probably none of us are quite there yet, but do you want to be on the way? Yeah. Is this something you, what you've heard this morning, does this sound too weird or far out? Or I mean, is this something you really believe God has said to us today? Or was this for 2,000 years ago? Or did He say it but He just didn't really mean it? What's really? Our past experiences so often color our lives to the extent we say, well, I know places where people prayed and it didn't answer. I know times I prayed and it wasn't answered. Forget that. Forget it. Go by what He says and start where you are today. It's the only place you can start. Right? Right? Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me? I want to pray before we go. Lord, let this truth, my, Lord, let this truth just sink down deep inside of us, that You have made a way for us to pray an effective, fervent prayer and see results. And see results. How many of you got a particular thing that you're really focusing on prayer? Maybe it's a family member, or maybe something personal going on in your life, some need that you're facing. But you know, I know there's things all of us can pray about every day, but how many of you this morning just have one thing? I'm just going to just limit it to one primary thing that is really a prayer focus right now for you, something you want to pray about this morning and commit to the Lord. I want to pray together with you. Before we go, I'm not going to ask that you come to the front, although it's always open. This area is always open for you to come for prayer, for you to come if you don't know Christ your Savior, for you to come and say, I need Christ. I need to know Him as my Savior. I'm not sure about where I'm going to spend eternity. Today is the day to do that. Come. Come on. It's the best thing in the world you could do. All of us have to take that step to know Him. But when it comes to our focus on prayer today, and I just want us as a church to take these things to the Lord. And I want you to take what we've talked about this morning, and I want you to apply it as we're praying before we go home. Would you signify this morning if you've got, take one particular thing that's on your heart right now that is a prayer need, a prayer request. One thing. Think about it right now. Think about one thing that you're praying for. One thing. One thing. Does it honor God? What you're asking for, does it honor God? Is it His will according to His word? If it is, then you and I have authority and power to pray that particular situation and anticipate, expect an answer to it. It may not happen today, may not happen tomorrow, but you can anticipate that answer. You can anticipate that God will do what He promised He will do. One thing. If you've got one thing on your heart you want to pray for specifically this morning, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Let's just raise a hand. Say, Pastor, I've got this particular thing I'm praying about this morning. Father, as we lift our hands to You this morning, we're declaring that we believe that You're the answer. And we believe that You hear us. We believe that through Jesus, we can approach Your throne. We can come to You, whatever that need is. Now, as we're praying, I want you to think about what you're praying about. More so than what I'm saying, I want you to pray and bring this to the Lord right now in prayer. Lord, we join together right now. We believe that Your word is true. We believe, oh God, that You're the God of miracles. We believe, God, that You will work in this situation. And what situation is in your life? Name it. Declare it before Him. God, I believe that You will work in this situation. And right now, I put this request before You. I come to You in Jesus' name, my Savior, my Lord. I come to You in His righteousness, not my own. And I come to You, Lord, and I bring this request to You. I submit it to You. I submit it to You. I let go of the worry, the anxiety, the fear, the intimidation. I submit this to You, Lord. I bring it to You right now. And I believe for Your supernatural working in my life and in relationships around me and in situations I'm in right now. Lord God, I believe for Your supernatural work and power to work in those situations. And as I ask, believing in the name of Jesus, I believe that I receive. And I thank You, God, that I look forward to, I anticipate it happening. I anticipate it coming to pass. I anticipate receiving it because by faith I already have it. And I thank You now in the name that is above every name, in the name of, say it together with me, in the name of Jesus. Say it again, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Amen and amen.